We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 5. We start with text 5 without a purport, and we read a few. We'll just read the translation. The Brahmanas recited auspicious Vedic hymns which purify the environment by their vibration. The experts in reciting old histories like the Puranas, the experts in reciting the histories of royal families, and general reciters all chanted while singers sang, and many kinds of musical instruments like berries and dundubis played in accompaniment. Okay, next text. Vrajapura, the residence of Nanda Maharaj, was fully decorated with varieties of festoons and flags, and in different places gates were made with varieties of flower garlands, pieces of cloth, and mango leaves. The courtyards, the gates near the roads, and everything within the rooms of the houses were perfectly swept and washed with water. Okay, text number 7. Gavovri Vrishavatsatara Haridratai Larushitaha Vichitradatu Barhasrag Vastra Kanchana Malinaha. Okay, Gava, the cows. Vrisha, the bulls. Vatsatara, the calves. Haridra, with a mixture of turmeric, taila, and oil. Rushitaha, their entire bodies smeared. Vichitra, decorated varieties of. Datu, colored minerals. Barhasrak, peacock feather garlands. Vastra, cloths. Kanchana, golden ornaments. Malinaha, being decorated with garlands. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The cows, the bulls, and the calves were thoroughly smeared with a mixture of turmeric and oil mixed with varieties of minerals. Their heads were bedecked with peacock feathers, and they were garlanded and covered with cloth and golden ornaments. Far out. Purport. Where can you find this? Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has instructed in Bhagavad Gita, Krishigo Rakshava Vanijam, Vaishya Karma Svabhavajam. Farming, cow protection, and trade are the qualities of work for the Vaishyas. Nanda Maharaj belonged to the Vaishya community, the agriculturalist community. How to protect the cows and how rich this community was are explained in these verses. We can hardly imagine that cows, bulls, and calves could be cared for so nicely and decorated so well with cloths and valuable golden ornaments. How happy they were! As described elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, during Maharaj Yudhishthira's time, the cows were so happy that they used to muddy the pasturing ground with milk. This is Indian civilization. Yet in the same place, India, Bharatvarsha, how much people are suffering by giving up the Vedic way of life and not understanding the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So we find out that cows and bulls are very important in Vedic culture. One reason is that they actually form the basis of Vedic economy. We are very complicated nowadays. We think we need so many things. But what we actually need is something to eat and somewhere to sleep. And maybe a few more things, but not much more than that. So, anything else is, you can say, somehow extra. Or sometimes it's even undesired. It's not helping you. So this is Vedic economy means that you have a cow, and the cow gives some milk. And from milk you make yogurt, butter, cheese, laddu, yeah. I remember we had this play with Dracula, and we said that from milk you make wonderful preparations. Like, you can make so many sweets from milk. I heard that a few thousand types of sweets you can make from milk and sugar. That's all. Millions. Nisimha Seva can make more than we can do. Unlimited. Okay. Probably. And the bull is also is used for plowing the land. If you want to do some agriculture, you have to plow the land. So then you have some agriculture, you have some grains, you have some vegetables, and everything is fresh. Homemade nowadays, it has to be homemade and eco. You know, like, no, this is actually eco. You know, like, you have, you made it. You know. And there's nowadays there's this vegan trend that we are abusing the cow and the bull, so we shouldn't use them anymore. And one way it's true, like modern culture is not is actually abusing the cow and the bull, because as soon as the cow doesn't give milk anymore, what do? They kill it. The bull is useless because now they have tractors, so the bull, they kill it, you know, like from the start. So, finish. This is modern civilization. As soon as something is not useful, just throw it away. And if it's some animals, you know, like, yeah, just kill them. Now they have this euthanasia. Yeah, it's actually, we have one friend, it's the true case, you know, like, he had a dog and was with his parents, and, you know, like, the dog couldn't walk anymore, so the parents said, okay, Hare Krishna, it's time. So they actually did it. So this is modern civilization, you know, like, just kill it, you know, like, and of course, I was like, nowadays you have to kill it gently, you know, like, it's euthanasia, it's not, we're not killing, you know, like, when I was little, you know, like, you had one pig, every family had one pig, and in December they would kill it, you know, like, and they would have this pig festival, and they would use, like, traditional methods, like putting a knife in the pig's throat. Sorry for being a bit. And then it was like, and then the EU came, you know, like, and this was considered now, this is uncivilized, you know, like, you cannot put a knife in the pig's throat, it's not civilized. So then they said, yo, you have to do these electroshocks or whatever they are using now, you know, like that. Now they are killing it in a civilized way. But, you know, like, civilized, uncivilized, it's still killing, you know. It's probably none of us would be happy if someone would come and gently speak a few nice words to us and then kill us in a smooth way. I mean, it's still killing. Anyway, this is a detour. So actually, cows and bulls, they like to do some service, you know, like, it's like us, because the cow is a spirit soul, and the spirit soul, the nature of the spirit soul is to do some service. So they actually, and if you really take care, good care of them, then they like to reciprocate, you know, like, they like this loving exchanges. So actually they give more milk. Where I was talking to with some devotees from the Hungarian farm, and they said that their cows give a lot of milk compared to normal cows. They give more milk than because they are well taken care of, you know. So they like, oh, nice. And they were telling me also the bulls. The bulls, when they, because this vegan trend is that we are abusing and we are using them for these things. The bulls, when there's something heavy to carry, you know, like they are like men in the gym. You know, like, yeah, bring it on. Like, yeah, how much? 200 kilos. Yeah, bring 300 at least. Come on, let's do it. And they have, this was devotees who were taking care of the cows and the bulls. So they were in contact with them every day. So they were very, very happy, you know, like, oh, now today is gym time. Today you have to carry this heavy stuff. Wow, so nice. So they were actually very enthusiastic. So this vegan idea that we don't need them, so we just, which actually means that we don't use anything they are using, so we just get rid of them somehow, just get lost. And this is a lot superior, this Vedic idea that we engage in loving exchanges, you know, like they are spirit souls, and we accept some service they give, we give them some service, and so on. It's not so complicated. So then the question is, because they don't have cows and bulls, then the next then comes the problem that you have to have some food. So then you, if you want to plow the land without bulls, then you need tractors. I was last year in this camp in Brežice, and His Holiness Prahladananda Maharaj gave some class about how complicated this material life is. And he was explaining how is economy. So you need tractors. Yeah, you have to plow the land. You need some tractors. You don't have bulls anymore, so you need tractors. So to build some tractors, you need some resources. You need to dig the earth for this iron, this, that, this, this. And then you need a lot of electronics. You have to put there, you know, like this system, that system, this system. And you need factories. Yeah, you have to build these huge factories, which you need quite some resources. And this, in these factories, there's lots of chemical stuff. It's very, very natural. Who has been to one of these electronic plants where they build the electronics? You've been, huh? Oh, my God, this is... I was working in some electronic company, and I was working in the design. You know, like sometimes we were complaining that oh, this stuff, and I was jokingly saying that they would send us to the manufacturing plant once a year just to see how it is. You know, like so we stop complaining. You know, you go there, you see how life is there, and you're like, okay. No more complaining. See, so actually, it's they have lots of chemicals there, and because they want to make it efficient, you know, it has to be fast and efficient, they cut corners. Like these chemicals, they need some time to dry, and so on and so on. And, anyway, they're not healthy in the first place. But even the way they are doing it, because they have to optimize time and so on, then they don't have time to dry, you know, like, so, then someone who's working there is inhaling all these chemicals, you know, like, so if you work in such a factory for some years, then your health is done. You're inhaling all these chemicals. You are there, huh? Yeah, this electronics, all this, you know, like you just inhale these kind of things for so many years, then your health is like finished, you know, like. So that's, and then, of course, they have lots of chemicals and so on. And then the people are destroyed, you know, like actually who are working there. Of course, we make some plants in China, and then the Chinese people are destroyed, or Taiwan, or whatever, you know, like in this low-cost country. But still, there's some huge costs, you know. We don't see it, you know, like, oh, it's just things happening. And then you have pollution. You know, there's all these chemicals get somewhere, in the air, in the water. They have to get somewhere, you know, like in the earth, you know, like it's nothing. And then you build these electronics, and these tractors, somehow you build them, you know, like it's very complicated. And then they need some fuel, of course. And maybe you don't have, so you have to bring it from somewhere else. And then you need some vehicles for transport, more economy. You need economy to this big vehicle to transport stuff, you know, like it's complicated. And you see the whole side. And then you need trading, maybe. And if, you know, like if they don't want to trade and the price is too high, sometimes you have some wars. You have to go to war, you know, like this. This bomb, I have this bomb. Can you give the oil cheaper because I have this bomb which is bigger than your bomb? So this whole thing, this whole big economic structure is because we're far from the simple way of having a bull and a cow. This whole thing gets gets solved because you have bulls and cows. So, yeah, and anyway, even with this complicated economy, once you have everything, then what do you eat? Because everything you eat is contaminated. There's chemicals everywhere. You eat some processed food, which is full of chemicals. It's not fresh, it's not in from your garden. Even if it's from your garden, it's full of chemicals. And then you have to run, you eat on the run, you know, like I was opening Facebook, and then this commercial came up for this processed food. It takes only, you just put some water in and there's some thing, and then you have in 2 minutes you have some food. And then usually people eat this food while they are running from one thing to the other. They just don't sit down and eat, you know, like just and just run from. So they have like 15 minutes lunch break because they have to run, and they have to be efficient. And then they take some vitamins and minerals because the food they eat, it has no vitamins and minerals, you know, like it's nothing there. And so that's modern society. That's the benefits of modern society. There's a very complicated arrangement to have bad food. It's bad, you know, like it's not, it's horrible food. And Vedic society means simple arrangement to have very good food. Milk, vegetables, grains, sugar, everything is provided. So, and of course you have time for prasad, for taking food. Sit down and you eat. And you don't do anything except as in the Western culture, we have to scroll something and so on. And then you have time for engaging in nice exchanges with people around you, you know. Like. So that's the difference between Vedic society. Vedic society means simple living, high thinking. And then modern society means complicated living and no thinking. Of course, there is a lot of thinking. You can say actually it's too much thinking. That's why there's so much thinking that at the end of the week, the people just go somewhere and get drunk to forget about all this thinking. or they, whatever, they do some crazy stuff to. But the point is thinking about Krishna, because all this arrangement of simple life is simple life that you have time for Krishna consciousness. It's not just not a simple life just for simple life. It says simple life, and then you have to think of Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna, read. You have more time if you make a simple arrangement. So, if you make your life simple, of course, I mean, we can extract the principle and the details, I mean, we can see. But if you make your life simple, then you have time. You have time to read, you have time to chant peacefully, you have time to take prasadam, to do some service. So this is quite practical, that this simple life is more conducive for spiritual life. Like we were yesterday in Kocheve. In Kocheve, probably nothing is going on. You know, like probably not many things are happening. Yeah, they're just eating and sleeping, and they have lots of time, which is good. Good for them. Just need to utilize it properly. So we were there, we did Harinam, and people, you know, they were like very open. Oh, what's this? Oh, nice. So books about yoga, meditation. Oh, yes, yes. I was like, probably this was like my record number of books distributed in Slovenian. Because in Slovenia, like in this city, nobody speaks English. Like almost nobody. No, they do, but many people don't speak English. So I was like, oh, evo gospode, limo duhovno znanje za dušo, yoga, meditacije, karma, reinkarnacije, daj donacije. That's all, you know, that's all I know. And then you're shocked, some people actually look for their wallet. They look for their wallet and they get, oh, okay. Here you go. They're like, okay, whatever. So the point was that in such a simple, more simple environment, people are more open to spirituality. And you go to Kocheve, you meet, you do one Harinam throughout the city, and you meet 100 people in total, probably. No, maybe 200. But, yeah.
Maybe 250.
250, okay. So we meet 250 people. And this, from these 250 people, you distribute 100 books. Because some take one, two, you know, like, if you know how to massage the false ego, like Uddhava and Tadei, they are expert at this. They massage the false ego and then they put a bit of 1 minute of massage, one more book on the pile, you know, like a bit more massage. They put one more. And then eventually they give a pile of books. So, yeah, that's... and then if you come to Ljubljana... Then you come to Ljubljana, and then you go in Ljubljana, you meet, there's thousands of people, and you distribute 50 books, because people are really not interested in this, in spirituality. Because the environment is such a, so much running, so much complicated things, that they overlook this simple thing. You look, you have to eat something, and then do something for your spiritual life. Chant some Hare Krishna. Read some books. Do something. So, of course, this kind of the point was that this simple environment is more conducive for practicing spiritual life. And actually, Srila Prabhupada wanted to have also this environment, and actually implemented. These books are not just for, you know, we read in the morning and then we do whatever. We do something else because whoever, you know, like whatever. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to have some farms. Of course, our farms usually have temples in the middle. They have temples and farms together. Because many times we go out and we distribute these books and we... Our philosophy is actually criticizing modern culture. Like, as Lomanchita Prabhu likes this joke about what's the difference between yogurt and modern culture. We were speaking about yogurt. It says, in yogurt, there's at least some culture. Like some, I don't know what they have, but there's something which makes it yogurt from milk. Anyway, so we're criticizing modern civilization, modern culture, and Mahatma Gandhi, when he went to the UK, he was asked, what do you think about British culture? And he said, What he said? It would be a good idea. Anyway, so we're criticizing this culture. So then they will come to us and they say, so what's your model? Which is a good question, you know, like, okay, so what's your what are you proposing? Oh, we're proposing farms and agriculture and cows and temples in the... Okay, where is it? Where can I find... where can I see it? No, that's good question. And then, like, if we're like, oh, we don't have it. I mean, we have temples in... we have this farm in Hungary and we have some projects, some small projects. But the idea is that we have to have it at some point. Because preaching doesn't mean just telling something. A model preaching means also show. Okay, what is the practical philosophy? Where can I see how this philosophy is applied? Oh, here it is. Okay, like this temple is implementing some part of Vedic culture. We distribute some books to the. We go in the center on or around Ljubljana. And we distribute some books to some people, and it's like, here's the books. And they're like, okay, where can I see these books implemented? You know, like, I'll read the books, and, yeah, I mean, how do I apply it in your life? So then you have this, oh, just come to our temple, and we'll show you everything. We'll train you. We'll show you how this is implemented. So, anyway, usually, of course, usually you have married couples who live in the farms because they have to live somewhere, they have to produce something, and then usually the temples in the cities, they are meant for preaching, for going outside, because even in the farms you have to chant Hare Krishna, that's the point. You chant Hare Krishna, you worship the deity. And so that's why this temple is more or less for preaching. So we don't have a farm here. Usually in the cities we don't have farm communities because the land is very expensive. That's one reason. And, I mean, it's polluted anyway. But temples are meant for just preaching. Just bringing, going out and reaching people, and trying to show them some part of the Vedic culture. So so the temple is a base for distributing Krishna consciousness. So that's there's this letter to Rameshwara. Srila Prabhupada says there is no doubt about it. To distribute books is our most important activity. The temple is a place not for eating and sleeping, but as a base from which we send out our soldiers to fight with Maya. Fight with Maya means to drop thousands and millions of books into the lap of the conditioned souls. Just like during wartime, the bombs are raining from the sky like anything. So this was this was Srila Prabhupada's vision. That we have temples in the city where we are distributing a lot of books, we are doing a lot of harinams, and we're trying to get people to join. And the people who join, eventually we have to have also farms where there can be also simple living. So yeah, that's more or less it. Okay, I'll stop here. If there's some questions, comments. Okay. Thank you so much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.